being rich and powerful is completely against what Jesus preached.
Yes.
So it's.
One second, Elise.
Hold God. If it is, it's probably Stan.
No, sorry. I was rinsing off a strawberry.
Oh, I've heard that before.
That's a euphemism for.
The most chilling psychopathic thing you've ever seen.
I'm setting my levels. Mike didn't help me out this week.
The downside of having free porno.
That too, yes.
So you guys all know about the call to silence?
Oh, get smart?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, supposedly, it was a contraption that Maxwell Smart used to use unsuccessfully to communicate with his boss on very sensitive materials.
And I
just recently heard a guy who's written a book about Charlie Crist, the guy that's running against Rick Scott in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, it's about the guy that was the head of the Republican Party, Jim Greer, who's currently in jail, finishing out his 18-month sentence. But a lot of this stuff went down when Charlie Crist was a Republican, and Jim Greer was the head of the Republican Party. So the Republicans don't want to talk about it. But Charlie Crist is now a Democrat.
Yeah.
So the Democrats don't want to talk about it either. So the author, whose name is Peter Golenbach, has said that there's a cone of silence around him. And I just thought it was kind of interesting. And when somebody does try to come out and tell the truth, that both sides will clam up and the media won't do anything either.
I thought the takeaway was the guy was probably the same age as us and watched Get Smart a great deal as a child. Maxwell Smart drove a Sunbeam Tiger, at least in the first few seasons. I always wanted one of those.
I don't remember his car at all. But I do remember enjoying this show very much.
It was funny. It was Mel Brooks when he was still funny. I guess you had to wait for the Criterion Collection stuff to come out. I don't know. What can I tell you?
And I did listen to Bret Easton Ellis and Kurt Vile, as you asked, Mike.
Wasn't it nauseating? The way he breathes?
Who?
He's breathing into the mic. He's like inhaling. You can hear it, like every inhale that he takes.
You know, I listened at the beginning and I didn't even notice it.
Really?
And I listened to the beginning of it. And then I listened again today, and when I first put it on, I heard an inhale and I went, but that was Kurt Vile. It wasn't Bret Easton Ellis that made that sound.
No.
Then it seemed like they both were doing it, and I suspect that it had something to do with that NPR breathing thing.
Or do you think you're smoking?
Well, at first I thought they might have been smoking, but if they are, then they've got like a hookah tube that's in their mouth all the time. So whenever they talk, they go, yes, well, then I listened to Bruce Springsteen and fell in love with Bob Seger.
I'm intrigued by NPR breathing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That happened about 20, maybe not that long ago, 15 years ago. I guess there must have been some sort of educational program about how to present your sentences so you don't run out of air, so you take a deep breath before you speak. I swear.
I never knew anybody who that was a problem for. You know?
I'll never hear Terry Gross say, "I'm Terry Gross, and this is fresh air."
She'll say,
"It'll never seem the same."
I'm Terry Gross.
Me again.
Yeah. No, well, and
or why she's always out of breath when she says fresh air. It's like fresh air, like she runs out. It's crazy.
She hasn't practiced enough. And then there's this economist that I like, a Marxist economist named Richard Wolff, who has a podcast that I quite enjoy. But then he started doing that. And then my manager and I were debating. She thought that he was having some sort of health issue. And I said, no. He's trying to make his podcast sound more professional, so he learned to do the NPR breathing.
Well, Bret Easton Ellis hasn't learned the NPR breathing. He's doing some sort of asthma thing.
Exhaling?
No, he's inhaling. You hear, like, these loud inhales. Listen to it again. How did you listen to it? Did you have headphones on?
No, of course not.
All right. No. Yeah, no, I wouldn't recommend that. But I just got crummy little speakers, and you hear it constantly through the thing. I didn't listen to any more shows. That was the only show I listened to because I didn't really want to. But he's got some good guests on there.
Not like him, or was it just the breathing was impossible for you?
No, I don't like him. I think he's, and that's what kind of I enjoyed on Twitter. Well, it just sort of showed his true colors. He's kind of like he likes to take swipes at people. That's kind of what he's known for. And he's done it to a lot of people. David Foster Wallace and among others on Twitter he's taken, shots at, But he can't take a shot himself. As soon as I started criticizing him on Twitter, he blocked me, So, then I had to just use his name instead of his Twitter handle. Because I didn't know that, if you block somebody, anytime you tweet about that person, it's not going to post.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But so I've been blocked by Bret Easton Ellis and John Laurie, quite a cast of characters building up.
Man, you're on a roll. And they both came recently, too.
Yeah.
This is good, I think. Who else can you get banned?
Mike, were you blocked by Woolery, too? You had to be blocked by that guy.
Well, I don't know. The blocking feature is relatively new, I think, right?
Oh, no, I was blocked by him during the time that everyone was
Okay.
Audience was being blocked.
Yeah, I'm probably blocked, but, I did that in a rather short span of time. I mean, I never had problems when I would use his Twitter name. I mean, those posts would post. When you completely block somebody, you can't even use their Twitter name. It doesn't post.
Okay.
So it's sort of a way of censoring,
So he did a sequel to Less Than Zero, I guess, 3-4 years ago.
Well, him and Kurt Vile seemed to get along wonderfully, and I think...
What was it? A book, a sequel, or a movie?
Oh, a book.
Oh.
He also did, a sequel to American Psycho.
Yeah, did he? Yeah, okay.
The dude seems like he's super smart. He's halfway decent. I didn't say halfway. He's a good writer too.
Yeah,
it's like he's talented.
Yeah.
I want to ask him a Mike Abesho question. If he's Mike.
He's got to get off the pallet. He lays down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might be sleeping. He'll talk. Put him to sleep.
No, it'll take a minute. He's gonna get up.
Oh, hey, sorry.
There he is.
We're in the other room.
There was, I remember Tom was talking about a podcaster who had sent him a really angry email.
Yeah, I remember.
And he didn't say who the guy was. I just assume it was Adam Carolla. Is that true? That it was, do you know?
No, I'm not aware that Tom ever had any contact from him at all.
Okay. You don't know who the guy is who sent him?
No, I don't remember that particular thing unless he was, I don't know if, what's his name? Had his podcast going then. I just blanked out. Who were we just talking about?
Paul,
yeah, Paul, yeah.
Oh, no. It was like a really... It was filled with profanity, and I just assumed it was Carolla because the way Tom described the email.
Yeah. No, I don't think Carolla was even aware of the best show, to tell you the truth. I mean, he lives in a different world, right?
Yeah,
I would say so.
I could see someone telling him, "Oh, this guy Tom makes fun of you on a regular basis on the best show," and him getting pissed off, and emailing Tom or something like that.
But so many people in the internet and in the world must make fun of that guy that it would take all his time.
I really do think, like, you know, even what with Kevin Smith too. I mean, Tom was pretty vehement in his attacks against him. Even before, I think it was even before I got involved with the show.
Yeah, it was.
But so yeah, it was strange, you know. And I'm sure. I mean, eventually Kevin Smith did unfriend me on Twitter. He was following me for a while, but somebody must have got into his ear after the show he was on.
Yeah.
You know, and said, hey, wait a second, you know, that show you were on, you know, and somebody probably thought, like, oh, this is like a way to get in with Kevin Smith. You know, I'm gonna really give it to Tom Sharpling and Mike, you know. But so somehow they got to him, and it wasn't too long after he appeared on. And I thought that show went well. You know, I was afraid Tom was gonna like sandbag him, and he kind of did a little bit. You know, with his sort of, you know, in the know comments and stuff. But I don't know. I thought for the most part it went all right, you know, and I don't think he, you know, he wasn't offended during the appearance, you know. I mean,
oh, no, you had no idea. Yeah.
That happened later, you know, but I doubt he even listened to the shows. He probably just said, what? You know, he got miffed and took another hit on his bong, and so apparently that's all he is now. He's like a big pothead, right? He's turning into what the Jason Mewes character was.
He released an animated Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Oh yeah,
which is, the animation is worse than, you know, stuff you'd see like amateurs make on the
air. No, it looked really bad. I mean, I didn't see the thing.
Like Dum Dum?
What's that?
Dum Dum?
Yeah, does he do animation? No.
Oh.
But I saw that, I don't know where I saw it, but I saw there was some sort of cartoon and it looked bad.
Oh, yeah.
Worse than Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse.
Yeah, and I think he was touting, you know, how little he spent on the animation, like it was this awesome thing, and that, you know, it just looked so bad that it.
And that was like straight to video, right? I mean, that didn't.
Yeah. Oh no, that wouldn't have been in theaters.
I remember seeing that like on shelves in video, like, yeah, you know, like in Borders or whatever.
Really? I didn't even think it would be something that would be released on video. It seemed like just like an internet thing.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe.
Well, he's got to sell something, so yeah.
If there's a way to monetize it, Kevin Smith will find a way.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, he's got his minions, you know. He's got to kind of feed them every once in a while. I mean, that whole thing is a phenomenon. I mean, on his website, you know, when he had it out, you know, and then finally we made our piece at the end, I mean, I did credit him for, like, you know, getting out of that convenience store, you know? He rolled out of that thing, and, you know, he made something of himself, you know? Unfortunately, the stuff that made it for him, I think, is junk.
Yeah.
I posted the trailer for this animated, if anyone wants to look at it.
Oh, that was nice.
Uh-huh. In the Skype chat, in the text chat. Yeah, I mean, you don't really need to listen to it. Just like look at how bad the animation is.
Oh boy, yeah. Oh wow, yeah, that does look like somebody was in a hurry and. But you're right. It's like it's, you know, I'm sure kids put stuff, post stuff to YouTube daily that looks better than that. And I think, let's see, is there a DVD? I'm looking to see. Let's see, shopping. And there does not seem to be a DVD.
That's shocking.
Yeah, that is shocking.
Has he been on with Paul F. Tompkins?
He was on the Talking Dead with Paul F. Tompkins.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of interesting, but I don't know if they've, like, been on the same podcast ever or anything like that.
Like if Tompkins went on Kevin Smith's show. And that guy, like, he seems dumb, right? Like, I can't believe how people don't seem all that intelligent can make it in show business.
Well, I think I mentioned this in one of the earlier Skype chats, but I listened to the first Smodcast, and he asked whether China was a country or a continent to his fellow podcaster.
And there wasn't like a wink, like ha ha. He was
no. It was an honest. He honestly did not know.
Well, I still have trouble figuring out Hong Kong's relationship.
Yeah, my sister lives there, and I'm still a little puzzled by that.
Well, the British had to hand it over to the Chinese because of some lease or something. What was that, 10, 15 years ago? So technically, mainland China owns it, but it's sort of self-governing.
That's my understanding is,
Not knowing that is a bit different than not knowing whether China is a continent or a country. So, I mean, that's just...
Well, which is it?
It's... You know...
Shut up. Got you.
I thought it was a city.
This is a very big city.
Yeah.
It's in Illinois. Right. China, Illinois. Yeah.
So the British really did screw us up, though. Not and us, I mean the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, I was just listening to this whole Iraq thing, and these ISIS guys, they're way worse than Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda just wanted the West out of the Middle East. ISIS wants to get rid of all the division lines between the countries, turn it into a giant caliphate, a religious organization.
Yeah. They think they have a chance of making that happen?
Well, seeing as we had the Saudis give them all this weaponry to fight in Syria, they got a good chance.
Yeah, okay.
Bandar Bush. That's the first name I look for when I pick up a political book that's supposed to be explaining anything. If they don't mention him, then it's not going to tell you what you need to know.
And who? I say, who is he?
Oh, he's really not Bandar Bush. He's Prince Bandar something something. He's a high-ranking...
The Stone manager?
Saudi guy. No, he's a high-ranking Saudi intelligence guy.
Uh-huh.
But, like, if you pick up a book about Ronald Reagan or Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney or anything, Bandar's he's the only guy that Barbara Bush would allow to smoke a cigar in her house, was Prince Bandar.
No, he must be important.
You know it. And George H.W. Bush is the only man that was... you know, an adult that doesn't know where he was on the day John Kennedy got shot.
What do you think of that? Do you think, have you talked about your JFK theory on the Skype chat before?
I don't know.
Your assassination theory?
I'm ready to hear it. And then I want you to talk about pyramids, too.
Pyramids?
Yeah, but keep on JFK first.
Yeah, tell us about the JFK.
Well, JFK, that was just a mafia take.
What?
Yeah, they just missed him 4 days earlier in Tampa, Santos Traficante.
Yeah, I've heard that. That conspiracy theory is something I can believe.
I can believe. There's no truth to, like, there's got to be something fishy about the Kennedy assassination, right?
Well, the guy in front, I think his name, anyways, there's a guy that shot him from the front, right in the throat.
But if it was the mafia, who put the hit out to the mafia to do it?
Oh, the CIA and the mob were wrapped up tight to fight the commies.
Mm.
And Cuba, the mob hated Castro because he kicked them out and they couldn't have their casinos down there anymore.
Right, right. I saw that in The Godfather Part 2, so that I know.
What's the name of that book about Havana Nocturne? You ever read that book?
No.
That's a really good book. It's about the mob in Cuba.
And yeah, and there was a strong connection with Tampa, of course.
And it's about the revolution. It's good. I can't think of the author's name. Havana Nocturne.
Wow. So it's just the mob.
Well, and the CIA.
Yeah.
I don't even need that. They were getting what they basically Robert Kennedy was going after the Teamsters, and that's what pissed him off.
Yeah, because he kind of broke the family vow. I mean, the Cosa Nostra family vow that you don't expose each other to the public, and he did. Yeah, because Joe Kennedy was deep in there. That's where the money came to get the Kennedys elected.
Yeah.
Right. So who is the guy who actually shot JFK?
Oh, I got his name out on the table there.
What, your Kennedy assassination table?
No, it's there with all my other little bits of paper that I have. There is a Kennedy assassination section of the table.
Where I saw the case made was in there's a book called Five Families by Selwyn Robb, and I mean it's a huge book. I mean it's basically a history of the mafia, and the section in there about Kennedy and the assassination. I thought they make a pretty good case in here in this book anyway.
Well, it makes more sense than that single bullet theory, which just defies physics and everything.
And I remembered one anecdote about Traficani. The day it happened, he was like at a restaurant, and he was, you know, it was a party. They were having a great time, you know.
Wow.
So I don't think it was just a coincidence.
Oh no! And the thing is that who was the guy I was listening to? Oh, Russ Baker. But he was saying that he actually interviewed a guy named George Bush, who was hired by the CIA for about 6 months and never had to do anything. But they were able to say that, no, we had another employee by that name. And I think they called that doubling. And the driver's name is William Greer.
So where was Oswald? What part did Oswald play in all this?
That's a good question.
He was a dupe.
Yeah, he's the patsy, they call him. And he was a dummy. He could be persuaded to do anything pretty easily.
He probably had his own agenda. You know, he had his own agenda going, and they hooked him up.
What about that cop that was shot the same day? What did that guy see that he got shot?
Oh, then he was on the run, you know.
Then who was on the run?
Oswald.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
Oswald's involved. Is that, you know, I'm not saying he wasn't involved.
But then you had Jack Ruby, who was also very mobbed up, and he's the one that, his patriotism forced him to go kill him, right? Yeah.
And what happened to that guy afterwards? Like
jail, very shortly, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yes.
He didn't even go to trial. He died.
Oh, wow.
He died in
60, January 3rd. You're talking about Jack Ruby, right?
Yeah.
January 67.
Okay,
so January 3rd.
That's right.
But I don't ever remember any testimony or anything about that.
Well, okay, because nothing really happened. I mean, he didn't go on trial. Wow.
No, and then when I listened to, I don't know how much of this lady's stuff is true, but Meyer Lansky's daughter, she was talking about how there was this big trial, and then her mother, she was about 13, I guess, and her mother had caught her reading the newspapers during this really big trial that was going on. And she said, don't worry, your father won't get into any trouble. And then it turned out that the guy that was leading the investigation had a huge amount of gambling debts. And Meyer had a private meeting with him and then destroyed the gambling debts and never had to testify. But yeah, it's deep. It's deep.
So what do you think of the RFK assassination? Do you have any ideas about that?
I actually have not done that much investigation. I just assumed it was the same group. It was just another hit on the family. And I'm sure, you know, the Republicans weren't that upset. Although I think, was it Bill Hicks who said that he thought that every person that got elected president, because I saw this after Obama got elected.
But yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and then they show him a film of the Kennedy assassination from an angle that nobody else could possibly have. And it's okay, now you've seen that.
I'm looking at the book I just mentioned, and it talked about Tropicana also disliked Kennedy for not for withholding air support during the Bay of Pigs.
Yes. Yeah. Right, and see, there was that whole military thing. Lucky Luciano getting let out of jail so he could go to Greece to fight against the commies. The agreement with the longshoremen or the what do they call the guys? The dock workers.
Yeah, a longshoreman.
Yeah, well, they had an agreement with the CIA about letting them do some smuggling as long as they let them know if they saw any, you know, communist or, communist vessels or activities there. So they had all kinds of agreements like that. And, I mean, that the mob kills people. I mean, they're actually proud of it. And we know because of the Church Commission that the CIA just kills people. And to think that, you know, they sometimes kill one of their own. It's not like talking about space aliens or non-human consciousness.
But the going back to what you said a minute ago about the other angle of the Zapruder film, which I understand is a joke, but like, wasn't that film like manipulated right away? Like, weren't there frames missing and stuff like that by the time I think Life magazine bought it for like what seems like next to nothing? Now, considering it's probably like one of the most famous pieces of American filmmaking ever, you know? Like,
I think, yeah, and was Zapruder able to sell it directly to them, or did he have to pass it through?
I don't think he sold it. I don't think he sold it. I think, you know, he eventually gave it to somebody because it was like, you know, a historical thing, you know? I don't think
it was ever used as evidence or anything like that.
No, I mean, hang on. Let me just see. I just want to see if that. Go on. I'll check out.
I don't think that. I don't buy any theories that was manipulated. I don't find that convincing. I mean, you know. What do they say? What do they say? See the whole thing.
Oh, I mean, just that there were frames taken away from it. You know, like.
What, for gore? Maybe they wanted
possibly,
to.
Possibly, you know, possibly, yeah. I mean, but you see the guy's head explode on it, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe initially, you know, back in those times, they didn't want to show that, so maybe there was an edited version, you know? But, I mean, you know, it's you see it now, you know? It's not like there's anything left out now.
Has anybody seen, what's the name of the film that was, it was a book, and then it was, a film was made on about it.
JFK?
No. In the 60s it came out. What's that guy's name? In the Year of the Pig as well?
A Point of Order.
Is that it?
It might be. Hold on.
I think you're right. You can see it on YouTube. It's bone dry, though.
Meaning nobody... Oh, it's not... It doesn't have anything to keep your attention.
It's like a guy just giving a lecture almost.
Yeah. I heard a lady talk, and she's a philosopher that tried to be a comedian. And she says, but it just doesn't work out because philosophers like to tell people stuff. And, you know, comedians have to be able to tell stories. And she says, I just always want to get to the point. And she did do stand-up for a while, but she said, after you've done the same act 5 times, the jokes are no longer funny to you, so from there on out, you're an actor.
Okay.
And I thought that was pretty insightful. And I guess she's written a bunch of jokes that nobody's used, and she said anybody can have them that wants them. I started a support group for people in denial. Nobody ever shows up.
That, I've heard that before, yeah. The rush to judgment, and you're right, Point of Order came out in 64. And this took it both of them. He's a Scranton boy, too. Emile D'Antoni. But, yeah, I got to see this dude's other movie. But supposedly people who participated in giving interviews for Point of Order, Rush to Judgment, which is one that I thought was kind of tough to watch because it was, wasn't the fireworks I wanted it to be. Like, those people, of course, went missing and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Met with unfortunate accidents, you know.
Is Frederick's there?
Yeah! I was walking away, but I'm coming back.
What's the case for when people accuse Johnson of being involved in the assassination?
Well...
And it happened in Texas is interesting to me.
And he was vice president, and he did get to become president.
He was sworn in on the damn plane! Like, that's insane!
Paul Krasner said that he had sex with the hole in Kennedy's head.
Hopefully they make a film version of that thing that Bryan Cranston was in. I'd really like to see his OBJ.
You'd like to see it?
No, I haven't seen it, but I'd like to see his version of how he would play OBJ.
Has anybody ever taken a shot at the Robert Caro books?
No.
I mean, it's a massive undertaking. From what I read of Johnson, I mean, he really is kind of a larger-than-life figure. And, you know, kind of tragic, too, you know. I think he did a lot of good things, and then, you know, he ends up stepping into it with Vietnam, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've read all the Caro stuff. They say that he was just so anxious to get the news. The final word is RFK dead. Is he dead? Is he dead? He was so happy to hear that. Relieved.
Yeah, they were not buddies at all. Yeah, and Robert Kennedy in particular really despised him.
But Caro, he goes through, you know, book after book of LBJ's ruthlessness, stealing every election that he gets, pretty much, and then. He's just a total non-believer in the JFK conspiracy, and it almost seems unbelievable after you've read three volumes of how ruthless this man is to think that he had nothing to do with it. It almost seems absurd.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I haven't heard a convincing case for his involvement, you know, so.
Right.
The ones that make the most sense to me are the mock one or even just the single. You know, Oswald did it. You know? Some other guy did a book not too long ago about that, and you know, he made a pretty good case too, I thought.
So if LBJ hated him so much, why was he on the ticket? Like, why was he his own president?
Well, they had to get the Southern Democrats in there.
Oh, of course, right? Yeah.
He campaigned on a train all around the South. Yeah, they carried all these states for him.
He's a dude who could get stuff done in Congress, so.
Yeah, yeah.
They also wanted him relegated to the vice presidency so he couldn't oppose them in the Senate. Got him out of a leader, you know, one of the most powerful majority leaders in the Senate in history. So they kind of shoehorned him away.
Yeah, he's definitely an interesting American character, that's for sure. Joe Puppy gave me a copy. I think I even saw it. It came out like in the 80s, a documentary about the Vietnam War called Dear America. Maybe you can find it on YouTube. It's got a lot of big-name actors. It's basically letters from American soldiers in Vietnam, you know, and they sort of give you a general overview during the years of the war. And then you get these letters. I mean, it's a really sad book, but it's sad documentary. And but they've got like big name actors who read the letters. You know, like Robert De Niro's in it, Robin Williams of all people. I mean, there were some strange choices too. You know.
Well, he was in that.
Of the time, you know.
Good Morning Vietnam. right?
Yeah, yeah, no. And anybody connected to a Vietnam movie, they must have been contacted.
Yeah, yeah, it's all on YouTube.
I think they all participated for either no salary. I mean, the music, the soundtrack is, like, unbelievable. It's got the Stones, Springsteen, Hendrix, you know, which is not, like, cheap to get those songs, you know? But that's all on the soundtrack. It's a good documentary worth checking out. Did somebody say they found it?
Yeah, yeah, it's on YouTube. I posted the link in the chat.
Yeah, Dear America. There's one scene that was really pretty. The one that will stand out is the scene of an older soldier. You know, he's been wounded. And they're filming him as the doctors are working on him. And he's just talking through the whole thing. You know, I guess he got shot in the legs or something. And it's just kind of, you sort of like, oh my God, you know, this guy.
Have you seen Hearts and Minds, Mike?
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I thought that movie didn't really do it for me. You know, I just remember not being that impressed with that movie. I remember certain scenes, you know.
That's sort of how I am. But what you said about, like, the guy talking while the scene that always sticks out in my mind was when the two American soldiers, one who had a case of what I think John Worster would call flagrant acne, and that part was
the only scene I remember from that movie.
Yeah,
to tell you.
I saw that. They're just like drinking beer and trying to leave hickeys all over the surface.
Well, they came out with the and one of the facts in this documentary, the average age of the American soldier was 19. Mm-hmm. There weren't too many older soldiers, you know, in that war, you know. So that was,
well, and a lot of people thought Kennedy was going to get us out of there. And that's another reason why the CIA didn't like it, because that was messing with their plans. Heard somebody talking about that today, about all the money and all the lives and stuff, and they said, Iraq's the same way. We were going to go in there and show them what the right way was, lay some democracy on them.
Suck it up again, yeah.
Now they want us to go back. And that Dick Cheney is just totally out of his mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he still gets on all the time. He's part of the crew. Why would anybody listen to him? I mean, even Fox News.
Now he's just a loose cannon. Now it's like you can watch him, you know, as he goes through these contortions. I mean, it's sort of interesting in that regard. You know, how far this guy will go.
Well, I heard somebody say, though, they said, yeah, Dick Cheney's getting on Obama because he went golfing. You know, while this was going on, he said, "You know what Dick Cheney did? He went back home and shot his friend in the face." You know, who is he to bring this stuff up?
Yeah.
I mean, what did Bush ever, like President Bush ever do aside from just like vacation and kind of chill out? You know,
a cleared brush.
Yeah,
there was a lot of brush out there that needed to be cleared.
Yeah, remember that? Remember that video where he was asked a serious question? I gave a short response. It was on the golf course, and he said, now watch me, watch me,
Yeah, I do remember this, yeah. Yes.
Watch me, watch me take a swing at the, whatever.
Yeah, that rings a bell. What did he say?
He said, now watch this drive.
That's, yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
It was the most chilling, psychopathic thing you've ever seen.
The hatred I have for George Bush is, it never goes away, you know. Like, you think, like, chilled on a little bit.
They're already rehabilitating him with all that stuff thinking and stuff. It makes me sick.
It's like he should be we should be reminded on the daily of how awful he is.
Yeah.
Entitled prick he is, you know, like.
But now he's got, what it was, 57% approval rate? Yeah. Or something like
Well, but I will say one thing. For a while, he was a very good ex-president in the fact that you never heard from him.
Yeah,
you never,
but when those paintings showed up, then there was trouble.
That kind of is where he came back. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It could only be seen when there was, like, a natural disaster or something. But other than that, he was pretty much in hiding for 3 or 4 years, you know? I'm sure if you were looking for him, you could have saw him, but he didn't trouble the spotlight much.
Well, and he sold his ranch, so I guess he got tired of all that brush.
Where did he move? Oh, he still lives in Texas, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That awful mother of his, those people were laying in the in that football stadium. And she's like, oh, like, this is better. They were...
Yeah. They were living in such squalid conditions before.
Yeah, she's they're like, look, they're in Texas now. Isn't this great? Like, oh, that woman is... Yeah.
And then she would only let that one guy smoke cigars in the White House.
That's right. Vandar Bush. I got to find out what his real name is now.
Ah.
Anyway,
it's been fun. We'll talk to you next week, guys.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. Have a good week.
Have a good one.
All right.